I photocopied that as a new handout, and that second verse is new to me. I don't know whether it was to anyone else, but the second verse kind of caught me by surprise, so I didn't look at it very closely, but it's a it's a blessing to sing all those verses together. Let us turn in our Bibles now to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. We are going to look at just the first phrase in verse 8. We'll read from verse 1. James chapter 4. This is the word of God. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts, that war in your members? Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your heart, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Thus far in the reading of God's word, and let us pray. We ask, O Lord, this night that thou wouldst attend by the power of thy Spirit the preaching of thy word. We pray that through the foolishness of preaching our souls may be blessed this day as we attend unto the ordained means of grace. We pray that it may be unto us a savor of life unto life, that we may rejoice to receive thy word, and that thou wouldst enable us to meditate upon it, consider our own selves in the light of thy truth revealed. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved congregation, grace produces the desire to be near to God. We see these number of commands, in this case, verse 8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. In the context of God giving grace. So there's a need for Christians, because this is written to Christians, there's a need for all people, but particularly even for Christians, to draw nigh to God and to be reminded that we have to do so. I had the privilege, you know that your pastor's getting a little older when he keeps thinking back about how it was when he was growing up. When I was growing up, we had the privilege of driving in cars that had bench seats. Bench seats were wonderful. And one of the great advantages was that when Ginny and I were teenagers and were dating, she was able to sit beside me. It was a special thing. And then I don't know what happened to me. I broke down in the sports car, and me decided I needed bucket seats. Anyway, we used to tell the story of the wife who complained to her husband, "You don't sit beside me anymore." And the husband says, "I never moved." So she was the one that was not sliding over to sit beside him. And that is true of the Lord. We may feel the Lord is far away, but he has not moved. And it's a good part of your assurance. God does not move. He cannot be moved. He remains faithful all the time. But aren't there times when he doesn't feel near? Faith says, I know that God is near. I know that he hasn't moved. I know that he is my heavenly Father because Jesus is my Savior. I know that he loves me with an everlasting love. I read this in the Word of God. But there are times when you can feel far away from the Lord. Perhaps the psalmist felt that when he wrote Psalm 37, David. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Well, why did he say that? Probably because he had to tell himself. The evil ones are the ones who are prospering. The evil ones are advancing. They're progressing, and I'm here kind of left behind in the dust serving the Lord. Why aren't things in my life a little better than they are? It's very easy to become fretful because of evildoers and feel that God has left us. Why am I not enjoying prosperity? Why am I not enjoying good things the way the Lord's people ought to enjoy them? So here again, let's just look at that context. God gives grace. Verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So we saw then that by that grace we're enabled to submit ourselves unto God, to resist the devil so that he will flee from you, but we're also enabled to draw nigh to God. You need grace to draw nigh to God. So interesting, the distinctions. And look for these distinctions as we recite our catechism questions in the coming weeks. God's work of effectual calling is the work of God's Spirit. So justification is an act of God's free grace. One time. It's a single time, a point in time. God's justification is an act of God's free grace. Sanctification is a work of God's free grace. Effectual calling. Your coming to Christ is a work. Your justification happened in a point of time, but your coming to that place often, for many people, is being gradually drawn away from the world. Everybody's experience is a little bit different. Some people hear of Christ and submit to him. That happens. But some people wrestle, ask questions, have to have those questions answered. Sincere questions, not questions of avoidance. It's a work of God's grace, or in this case, a work of God's Holy Spirit, but it is evidence of his grace. And so we need God's grace. We needed it. You needed it when you were saved, at the point you were justified, but you need ongoing grace. God gives more grace. So grace, sanctifying grace, is repeated in your life, and you need to be conscious of that. I need more grace. I need God's work. I need God's help. And it's grace that makes obedience sweet. Joseph Swain, remember that hymn, Come Ye Souls by Sin Afflicted, he says, take his easy yoke and wear it. Love will make obedience sweet. And grace does that. Grace makes God sweet. Grace makes the gospel endearing to you. And also creates humility. And that is what James says in verse 6. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So grace then also wants to draw nigh to God. And there's something in that. There may be times in your Christian life when you say, I'm drawing nigh to the Lord, I'm rejoicing in Christ, I'm walking with Christ and enjoying serving the Lord. But there are times in the Christian life when you need this admonition that James gives by the Holy Spirit, draw nigh to God. Draw near to God, which implies that you are not as near maybe as you thought you were. Our heart is deceived, and you need to be nearer. The flesh, of course, wants to go its own way. There's that battle that takes place in the heart of every Christian. The flesh says, let me go here, let me do this, let me think that, let me observe that. So we need to hear and obey this command to draw nigh to God. We hear echoes of this, or this is the echo of Old Testament command. Zechariah 1 verse 3, turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Malachi 3 verse 7, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. And then we read in Hosea 6 as well, come and let us return unto the Lord. He hath torn, he will heal us. He hath smitten, he will bind us up. And our afflictions then we see is coming from the Lord. Do you recognize that when things don't go your way, that God is interested in your life for Jesus' sake, that he sends those afflictions on purpose to draw you nigh to him? There's always a good reason for every affliction. And it's very difficult to look at life that way. But that is what the Lord calls us to. So drawing nigh to God means turning away from self. So the implication is that you're not near to God. Perhaps you've been drawn away by the world. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Turn away from the world. Turn away from yourself in order to draw nigh to God and come closer to the Lord. This is a problem that in places the scriptures refer to as those who are backslidden in heart. Those who haven't been careful for their Christian life or their walk with the Lord. People who are backslidden in heart rarely identify themselves as being in that position. And they often need a word of encouragement and a word of restoration, exhortation to return once again. So it's good to look at your Christian life, beloved, and to ask yourself, have you slipped away from just a closer walk with thee? It's a beautiful little hymn, isn't it? Just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus, 'tis my plea. We can lose that walking with the Lord and think that everything's okay. We can maybe find comfort in certain doctrines or certain ideas and comfort ourselves that we're not so far away from the Lord. So the trouble with backsliding is that it always happens very gradually. Just a little piece. We just let this go or that go. And pretty soon you're comfortable in a place that is not actually good for your soul. But yourself deludes you into thinking that everything is okay. That everything is fine. And so it's crucial to have that operation of the Holy Spirit. One of the solutions to that, especially when you realize things are not in my Christian life the way they once were. And it's sometimes a convicting memory. We can look back and say, there were times when I just walked with the Lord with great delight. Always a song in my heart. Always a prayer on my lips, and somehow things are not that way anymore. Sometimes because of the trials themselves. You're kind of drawn away from really seeing God in things and looking more at the circumstances that are around you. And the thing to do at that time, when you're aware of that situation, is to tell the Lord about it. Confess it to the Lord as sin. If there's sin in your life, ask the Lord to forgive it and forsake it. If there isn't known sin, maybe ask the Lord to point it out to you. And maybe just life is difficult without an immediate sin that you can identify, you still want to walk nigh to the Lord. Tell the Lord, things are not with me the way that they once were. And I want that walk back again. I want to be nigh to you. I want to walk close with you. You think about what you do when you get sick. If you're a guy, sometimes you need your wife to tell you to go to the hospital or see the doctor. But anyway, all of us should. If there's something wrong with your body, you should go to the doctor, right? And then what do you do when you go to the doctor? He says, what's wrong with you? I can't help you unless you tell me what's wrong. He said, well, this doesn't work right, or I've got a pain over here or a discomfort over there, and I don't feel right about it. Well, what's his job? His job is to know how your body ought to function, and then from your report, try to figure out what's wrong. This is what's happening. This is what's supposed to be. And he brings a solution. Sometimes it involves surgery. Sometimes it's medicine. Various things that he's trained to prescribe for you. So there is a good picture of the way in which the Lord works as well. The great physician. To come and tell your sorrows to the Lord Jesus and to be honest with him. To lay out what exactly is wrong. Maybe you can't even put your finger on it. Something's not right. Something's not the way it used to be. Lord, will you make it right? You know my heart. You know how my heart is supposed to be. And you know that it's not that way. Lord, make these things right. And even that fellowship is already drawing nigh to God, isn't it? As soon as you go and talk to him about these things, you are drawing nigh. You're not depending on your own way of solving your problems. You're looking to the Lord and going to, again, to the source, really, to find comfort in God's word, find direction through prayer. So, and Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalm 46, Martin Luther's favorite psalm. It's really the basis of the hymn, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God. So, it's a good thing to remember. God is our great help. Beloved, remember also, you may not be backslidden in heart, but remember that you can always draw closer to God than you are. There's such a great, there's not a gulf fixed the way there is between heaven and hell, but there's a great distance between the creature and the Creator. And it is always good to draw nigh. That gap can always be closed. We've been brought nigh by the Lord Jesus Christ, by his blood. We've been reconciled to God, but we can always draw closer to the Lord. Always desire, excuse me, a more intimate fellowship. So we read in Psalm 27, verse 8, the desire of the psalmist. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So they heard God speak. In fact, if you look that verse up, Psalm 27, verse 8, those first three words, when thou saidst, are in italics. They're not in the original Hebrew text. So the verse just says, seek ye my face. And my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. So there's a resolve of heart. The hearing the command, draw nigh to the Lord. The response, I will draw nigh to you. When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The psalmist goes on then to say, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. You ever experienced that feeling that when God is far away, that he's angry with you, that there's something is not right? David feels that. He feels the anger of God, not the anger of of God against judgmental anger against sin, but the displeasure of God, perhaps. We can feel that. And the answer, beloved, is to seek the Lord, not to run away from him. It's a wonderful thing to know that God loves to be discovered. He loves for you to learn about him. And he is your great teacher to show you who he is and what he has done for you. In human courts, I'd heard a little bit about this some years ago, but I looked it up as well. In human courts, when you have two parties especially that are opposing, we have sometimes what's called judge shopping. So somebody say, this is the judge that's appointed to my case, but boy, this is how he's ruled in the past, and he's not going to be very favorable to you. I'd be much better off with another judge. So then they apply to have the case heard by a different judge. Apparently, that I had just heard about. I had only heard about it, but I realized doing a little bit of research that it's a great problem, especially in the United States, where they're actually talking about making legislation against it. Very, very interesting subject. But, beloved, your judge, if we can use that in this context, your judge is always favorable to you. Isn't that a wonderful thing to think about? Your judge is always going to rule in a way that may not necessarily please you, but will always be beneficial to you, will always be profitable to you. He has your best interests at heart. Because you are part of the way in which he brings honor and glory to himself. That's a very delightful relationship that you have then with the judge of all the earth. Always he's going to rule in your favor. Even though it feels as though the evildoers are advancing, you're to not to fret yourself because of it. So no matter how close you feel, beloved, you can always draw closer. And that's a very important way to look at the Christian life. Some of you, I think, maybe all of you, are asking, does James have this backwards? Shouldn't he say, when God draws near to you, you should draw near to him? Or God will draw you near to him, and then he will draw near to you? And that is the way that we would normally expect this scripture to read. We acknowledge and praise God for his sovereignty. I would not be drawn to the Lord if he had not drawn me himself and made me willing in the day of his power. So we can respond to that by saying that God tells us what we should do, not what we can do. It's the same in the Ten Commandments. There are laws there that we cannot hope at all to fully obey, and yet the Lord commands us, and the Holy Spirit strikes that chord in your heart that says, this is the right thing to do. Whether I can do it or not, it's the right thing to do. It's the thing that I ought to do. It's the thing that's going to be good for me if I do it, and wicked for me if I do not. So John Calvin addresses that. He said, God is never lacking to us except when we alienate ourselves from him. He is like one who brings the hungry to a table and the thirsty to a fountain. There is this difference, that our steps must be guided and sustained by the Lord, for our feet fail us. But some criticize and say that God's grace is secondary to our preparation and, as it were, the waiting maid, which is very frivolous. For we know that it is no new thing that he adds new to former graces and thus enriches more and more those to whom he has already given much. So the whole idea of your going to draw near to God is an evidence of God's grace within you. The appeal here is to Christians who receive the word from James in this case, and they respond. Christians have the Holy Spirit. By the Holy Spirit, you have power to obey, and you have desire to obey. So be aware, beloved, that there is power within the Christian to respond to these things, to hear that appeal, draw nigh to God. Yeah, that's what I need to do. I need to be closer to the Lord. So God always fulfills what he commands. Jeremiah 31, verse 8, "Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God." So sometimes we just come to that point. I know that I should be closer. I know that I'm going in the wrong direction. Lord, turn me, and I shall be turned. If you do it, it's going to be done. If you do it, there's going to be no turning back. I need you to do what I am unable to do. So then, beloved, God will also draw nigh to you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. And it's a wonderful thing for the Lord to draw nigh to his saints. It is it's a great condescension on the part of God that he would draw nigh to sinners, that he would draw nigh to rebellious sinners, those who are wandering in their own way. But he has his affection set upon those whom he sent Christ to die for. They are his people, and they are his people that he has covenanted with, and he will keep them all their days, and he does keep them all of their days. So God draws nigh to his people. Remember the admonition to seek wisdom at the beginning of James chapter 1, that if you ask God, he's not going to upbraid you. He's going to give you. If you ask him, he's going to give. And so here he is condescending to give, even though you might have messed up on the wisdom that he's already given you. He's not going to upbraid you and say, well, what did you do with the last wisdom I gave you? He's going to draw nigh to you. He draws nigh even to his rebellious people. We see that so, well, grievingly and beautifully in the book of Hosea. God's people have strayed. And he calls them in. He casts them off. Ephraim has joined himself to idols. Leave him alone. Have nothing to do with Ephraim. He's joined himself to idols. And then in chapter 14, how he says, Ephraim, I'm going to draw Ephraim to myself. He's just a wandering calf. So as you desire the Lord, he becomes more desirable. Again, God's not the one who's moved. We're the ones always that move. Draw nigh to God, he becomes more and more desirable. You think about who he is. You think about what a pleasure it is to know Christ and to draw nigh to him. Psalm 145, verse 18, "The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth." So remind yourselves of those good doctrines, that doctrines that you once rejoiced in. Maybe you've forgotten about them. Read about them, think about them, and think about what a wonder God is and how amazing his glorious grace. So drawing nigh to the Lord, Charles Spurgeon says, "When the hen sees a hawk in the air hovering over her brood, she gives a peculiar warning cluck, calling her little ones to come to her, while at the same moment she herself draws nigh to them. In a far higher fashion, the voice of God calls you to him, warning you of the danger that lurks all round you. And while you run to hide from peril beneath the shadow of his wings, he, on his part, runs to meet you as the forgiving father ran to meet his prodigal son." The prodigal son drew nigh to his father ran to meet him. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful picture. Spurgeon says, "You draw nigh to him in the fearfulness and feebleness of your supplication, and he draws nigh to you in the faithfulness and almightiness of his everlasting love." I am afraid that we often pray as if our God were at a distance from us. this can never be prevailing prayer. So the kind of the meeting together as you go to the Lord. Why do you go to the Lord? Because he's convicted you. And he runs to meet you. He comes to meet you. What a wonderful, wonderful picture that is. So the Lord gives us these promises. Isaiah 58, verse 9. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. So cry to the Lord, and he'll present himself to you. Is that it's a promise that you can claim through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 65, verse 24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. While they are yet speaking, I will hear. So the Lord anticipates all of these things in his divine sovereignty. He involves you in his eternal plan. He calls you to draw near, and as you draw near, he says, come, come, come quickly. He meets you at the place that you need to be at. And our God is gracious. And it's all through grace. Draw near to the Lord. Draw near to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Beloved, let us remember that, especially every day of this week, but of the days to come. Let's think on these things. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art mindful of us in our weakness, in our afflictions. We thank thee for the might and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank thee for the indwelling power of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray for any soul here who is wandering or perhaps backsliding. Lord, wilt thou cause them to draw nigh? Wilt thou cause all of us, regardless of our spiritual state, that we may draw nigh, knowing that we can always be closer unto thee. We do pray that thou wouldst meet us with thy grace, with thy covenantal love. And we pray that thou wouldst hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen.